compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Buenos dias. Good morning. Welcome to the Patrick Madrid Show. Thank you for listening. My number is 888-914-9149. I know your regulars already know the number, but for all of our new folk, we have new people coming on board every day. This is the number to call to be on the air. I'd love to hear from you. 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Cyrus, question for you. I know you have a pooch. I've seen some family videos of you and the kids and this big dog running around your house in your yard.
He wasn't big when I got him.
What kind of dog is that? It's a handsome dog.
Yeah, he's great. German Shepherd, mix? Boxer mix.
Okay.
He's really awesome.
What's his name?
Oscar.
Oscar.
Yeah, we got him just about a year ago, right before. It was like a week before the pandemic. And it was the perfect time to get a dog because it distracted us
from
the pandemic. Yeah.
Well, have you taken your dog in to get his vaccine yet?
Oh, yeah. Well, the COVID vaccine? Yeah. No.
You didn't take him in yet?
Is that a thing?
You must be behind the times, man.
Oh, man.
Listen up here. And all the pet lovers out there, cats and dogs, this is according to the UK paper, The Sun. Cats and dogs may need to get the COVID vaccine to curb the spread of the virus, according to a group of scientists. Coronavirus can infect a wide range of domesticated animals, and experts have said that giving pets the jab is a precaution to reduce the risk of the virus spreading further. Experts from the University of East Anglia, Earlham Institute, and the University of Minnesota wrote in the journal Virulence that continued evolution of the virus in animals followed by transmission to humans poses a significant long-term risk to public health. They said it's not unthinkable that vaccinating some domesticated animal species might be necessary to curb the spread of infection. Last year, for example, Denmark's government culled millions of mink after it emerged that hundreds of COVID cases in the country were linked with variants associated with farmed mink. You don't own any minks, do you, Cyrus?
Nope.
Because you may have to cull them. I'm
safe
sorry.
There. Oh, man.
Have you? Well, you need to read this article then, because they're saying, I mean, they're serious about it, too. And I have a feeling this probably could get some traction that.
So this will turn into one of those things where you can't take your dog in to be groomed or into the vet for his normal shots unless he's been vaccinated. Kind of like we're not going to be able to travel or go grocery shopping.
I mean, this is all new to me. What is today? Tuesday? Oh, today is Taco Tuesday, by the way. As of this past weekend, I didn't know this was even a thing, that they were going to start talking about vaccinating pets. But here we are. So, no, I didn't see this one coming.
Super.
So you're ready, huh? You're ready for that?
I am not ready.
Oscar, come here. We're going to go for a ride. To get a shot for you.
And I have a cat, too, so I'm going to have to vaccinate the cat. Mm. This is getting expensive, Patrick.
It is. Yeah, the COVID is. Okay, so here's another story, dog-related. The Miami Heat, pro team, they've announced they're going to start using coronavirus-sniffing dogs as part of their security team for to let some fans back into the arena, according to ESPN. The organization announced its new COVID-19 safety plan last week, which includes COVID-19 detection dogs. As fans are brought to a screening area, a detection dog will sniff each fan, as in person. Fanatic. The dogs will have... That's what fan is short for, Cyrus. Did you know that?
News to me.
Yeah. No, seriously. A fan is short for a fanatic.
Fanatic. I knew that. Yeah.
The dogs have been trained to sit down if they sense the presence of the coronavirus. If a fan is flagged by the dogs, the fan's entire group will not be permitted to enter the game. If you think about it, detection dogs are not new. According to Matthew Jafarian, the team's executive vice president for business strategy, he told ESPN, "You've seen them in airports. They've been used in mission-critical situations by the police and military. We've used them in the arena for years to detect explosives, and the Miami Heat are the first NBA team to employ this strategy. A study in France and Lebanon showed that canines are capable of detecting the virus through human sweat. COVID-19 detection dogs have been utilized in airports by the United Arab Nations and Finland. And there's quite a bit more to this. They talk a little bit about how the dogs are able to do this. They have their olfactory apparatus, a.k.a. their nose, and their ability to smell is extremely developed compared to, say, human beings. So, but, you know, this raises a question, Cyrus. I'm just thinking about this. If dogs can get COVID, but we need dogs to sniff for people who have COVID, what happens if the dog gets COVID and loses his sense of smell?
It's out of a job.
What happens?
Yeah, I don't know. And I guess these dogs are going to have to be vaccinated before they are put to work.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a dog's life. Anyway.
We're laughing, but it's serious.
Yeah. So that's all I've got on dogs. That's the dog portion of the show today. 888-914-9149. Love this story, though. The Pizza Hut guy, did you hear, you know this story because I shared it with you this morning. In fact, I want to say a special thank you to a friend of mine who alerted me to this story early this morning. And I shot him back a note and said, hey, thanks for this. I want to share it on the show today. It's one of those feel-good stories. I love this. Pizza delivery man in Tipton, Indiana, he got a much bigger piece of the pie this month when a customer gave him a tip more than 15% of the bill. He gave him a new car. He used to deliver pizzas back in the day.
And no one ever gave me a new car.
When you were a struggling artist.
I remember. Oh, it's very, very clear memory.
You were doing your art and nobody cared. Did you ever get a new car as a tip for pizza delivery?
No.
Not even once?
Not even once.
Robert Peters is his name. He's been delivering pizzas for 31 years. Pizza Hut says he's one of their longest tenured delivery. 31 years.
Oh, wow.
That is remarkable. I mean, you talk about dedication. They say he's one of their longest tenured delivery people. He says, there were people in my family who were like, maybe you should consider something a little more financially stable, but it's my purpose in life, trying to make people happy. You know, when you're delivering to somebody, you may be the only face they see all day. He also is known far and wide on his delivery route for the guy who will make sure you get exact change, even if you don't tip him. There's some people, believe it or not, who don't tip him. It says that he will drive 3 or 4 miles in a blizzard to get you 15 cents in change. Why does 15 cents matter, he was asked. Now, it's the moral of it. Oh, actually, this is his boss, rather. It's the moral of it. He doesn't want you to feel like you had to tip him because he didn't have the change. Here's what happened. So one of the people that he delivered pizza to happens to own a car dealership, and he arranged for people in the community to donate some money, and everybody, because they know this guy, and he's delivering pizzas to them for 31 years, so he's a fixture in the community. They love him. He's a humble guy, so they pooled their money, and they got him he had a 1993 Oldsmobile. So that was like a rust bucket, and it was it was falling apart. So they got him a brand new Chevy Malibu. $19,000 total is what they got. So they gave him, they called him up to the dealership. Hey, can you deliver some pizza? Sure. So he comes to the dealership with pizza, and they hand him the keys to this new Chevy Malibu, and the auto insurance and gas money was paid for a stretch. It doesn't say how much that was, maybe the first year. So brand new car, auto insurance, gas money paid for by the kind citizens of that town because he was a great pizza delivery guy. I love that.
That's awesome. Wow.
It almost makes you want to go deliver a pizza. Or order one of the two. I'm torn. How about if I order a pizza, you deliver it, Cyrus? Would that work?
That guy just won the lottery of pizza delivery guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love stories like that.
That's awesome.
All right.
There's good people out there.
Oh, there are. Yeah. And, that's the takeaway for me on that is that I think a lot of people would sort of sneer at the idea of being a pizza delivery guy as if that were, embarrassing or something. But this story reminds me that even in work that other people might sneer at or regard as menial or beneath them to do it, you can do it well. And I don't know if he's a religious man, but I could imagine a scenario where a guy delivering pizza has a very strong virtue of humility and may be the holiest guy in town, but you'd never know it because he keeps his nose down and he does his job and he does it well.
That's such an important lesson. I have a nephew, I remember a few years ago, a number of years ago now, and we were doing some hard outdoor labor, and he was just like, I wasn't made for this kind of work. And I just couldn't believe the attitude of, you know, I'm not made for this kind of work. What do you mean you're not made? Everyone is made for this kind of work. It's work, and you do the job that needs to be done. And so being a pizza delivery driver or a garbage man or any job, they're not actually easy jobs, but they need to be done, and you're supporting your family. So
that's true. And they're thankless to boot. A lot of people, they don't tip you. You know what that's like, right?
Right, yeah. So you do what you got to do for your family. That's the bottom line.
I told you my chicken manure shoveling job, didn't I? I won't tell you. Yeah. I won't get into the details, but I had a couple of those jobs, and it was not pretty. But I needed the money, so I did it.
Absolutely.
People are waiting to get on the air. Let's get to Charles in Roswell, New Mexico. Charles, you're a patient man. Thank you. Welcome.
No, it's not. I'm not patient. I'm the first guy up.
Well, let's do this then.
All right. The dogs getting COVID came out at the very beginning when it hit the United States. I'm going to guess it was March. The first dog was a pug. And the reason why I remember that is I've got a next-door neighbor or a neighbor in an apartment complex who owns a pug, and I didn't have the guts to tell him. But what's kind of interesting is how come for example, yourself, you didn't know of this a long time ago that these pets were getting COVID.
You know why, Charles? Because at the moment, I was too worried about people getting it. I guess, I had my priorities out of whack. I wasn't paying attention to the dogs. I was worrying about all the people. But, that's just me. That's just how I roll.
I agree. The fact that it could spread through them, and yet the people not knowing their pets licking their next-door neighbor is a bit of a problem.
It certainly would be. I mean, I realize, we're talking about dogs and cats, especially millions, gazillions of pets and pet owners for whom this is going to be a real problem because they're going to have to vaccinate these animals. I mean, we vaccinate them for other things. So this will be maybe part of the new regimen of things that dogs get when they go to the vet. Do you have a dog?
No, I do not. I kind of would like one, but I know that, caring for a dog is a lot of work. And now with this COVID thing, and I've known that again since the beginning, so I don't want my dog out there demanding to be pet and licked and so forth. And yet,
who licks their dog? Nobody.
Pardon?
I'm not aware of anybody licking their dogs.
No. Did I say that?
Yeah.
No, what I meant is a dog licking other humans.
Gotcha.
Lots
okay.
of dogs want to be pet and they're rubbed.
Yeah, they want human companionship. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Charles, thank you. I admire that you were on top of that story from the very beginning. Well done. Thank you. Let's go to Gary now in Redding, California. Hi, Gary.
Good morning.
Good morning. How can I be of service today?
I'm hoping you, I from what I hear, what I've listened to, I think you can be. I'm a truck driver. I listen to a lot of radio, and over the summer with all the politics and everything going on, there's a lot of negativity. And I stumbled across your station and slowly started putting it in my repertoire of stations to listen to. It's gotten to the point where I get up at 2:30 in the morning and I'm listening until 5 o'clock at night. And I'm not a Catholic, but I'm finding that the influence of your radio station is really drawing me closer. I'm a strong Christian, but my walk with Christ is becoming on a daily basis much stronger because of your influence. But I have a few questions.
Sure.
I think I'm being called to pray the rosary, and I think I'm being called to fast.
Okay.
So I'm very interested in those two things. I'm also interested in finding a priest near me that I might be able to utilize as a spiritual advisor.
Excellent. I'm so happy to hear this. First of all, thank you for the kind words about listening to Relevant Radio. It's wonderful, and it just proves to me yet again, Gary, how God works in ways that we just don't even expect. So you're on the road from, you'd say, 2 in the morning till 5 in the afternoon. That's a long day.
It sure is.
Man, when do you sleep? Because you probably have to go straight to bed and sleep until you have to get up again.
Well, actually, I live in Palisadro, Redding area. I drive out of Chester, California, so Sunday night I drive to Chester, and mm-hmm. I have a little trailer that my boss is great. The mm-hmm. company I work for is great. They bought me a trailer and they pay for my little space rent, and I sleep in the trailer and make my lunch, get up in the morning and work and rinse and repeat five days a week, and then I go home on Friday night.
Wow. God bless you. And that's hard work, and you must be exhausted. So I'm glad we can keep you company behind the wheel. Do you travel out of state, or is it just more local trucking that you're doing?
Yeah, it's logging. I'm a logger, so it's within 100 miles of my trailer.
I see. Okay. Wow. Well, God bless you. So I'm really happy to hear this. Thank you for letting us keep you company. I understand what you mean. You feel drawn to this. Why don't we start with the rosary? Just to say that the rosary is a biblical prayer. So all of what we refer to as the mysteries, it doesn't mean that they're mysterious or that, you know, it's something arcane or anything like that. It's a word that's used to refer to the sorrowful events or certain sorrowful events in the life of Christ, certain joyful events and certain glorious events. Those are the traditional mysteries of the rosary. Pope John Paul II, he added an additional set of mysteries known as the luminous mysteries. So you can find out more information about that as well. But just the rosary itself is almost entirely quotes from the Bible. So like the Our Father and the first part of the Hail Mary, which is what the angel Gabriel says to Mary in Luke chapter 1, and then what her cousin Elizabeth said to her shortly after that, you know, when she greeted Mary. And so these prayers that we pray are designed to help us focus our minds on the life of Christ. So we, in the sorrowful mysteries, you meditate on his suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane, the agony in the garden. Then there's the scourging at the pillar. And then we meditate upon the crowning with thorns. So these are all biblical scenes that we read about Jesus in the Gospels. And the same would be true for the other mysteries of the Rosary. Also the structure, the 150 prayers is patterned after the 150 Psalms. And you probably already know, because you're a strong Christian, that in the Psalms, there's a lot of repetition. And the same phrase can be repeated over and over again in the Psalms, inspired by the Holy Spirit. So this kind of repetition, unlike the vain repetition that Jesus condemned, you know, the vain repetition of the heathens, for they think by their many words that they will be heard. The vanity there, the futility of it, was that there were none of these gods existed that they were praying to. But also they thought that they had to use the right title on the right day in order to get that God to hear them. And so they would go through these long litanies hoping that they would hit on the right title so that Zeus would listen to what they were saying. All of it is futile. It's as Jesus said, it's vain. But this kind of repetition is patterned after like Jesus' own repetition. So in the Garden of Gethsemane, we're told that when he was about to go into his passion, he prayed the same prayer three times. So he repeated his prayer three times. He told us, you know, when you pray, pray like this. And he gave us the Our Father. So when you pray the rosary, just be aware that it's eminently biblical. You're focusing on Christ. And the key here is that you're asking the Blessed Virgin Mary, the closest human being, the closest human person to Jesus of all, you're asking her to pray for you and to help you draw closer to Jesus. So that's the purpose of the rosary. We have a rosary, actually we have several rosaries on the Relevant Radio app. Do you have that app already, Gary?
No, I do not.
Okay, super easy. If you have a smartphone or a tablet, you can just download it in seconds. It's free. Just type in Relevant Radio in your app store. And on the right side, there is, let me open up the app so I can tell you exactly where it is. So when you open up the app, you've got on the right side a menu that says Pray. And it's up upper right side. You tap that, and then it will open up a menu of all the different prayers. So different devotions, the rosary, all kinds of good stuff there. On the left side, it's where you find the programs and podcasts and things. But you can pray along with the rosary anytime you want. And you can just fire that up on the app, and then you'll be praying
through the
with... Yeah, right on the app if you want to. And that'll guide you.
Oh, that's awesome.
Now, lastly, and I have to take a break, so forgive my brevity here, but I also want to share with you what we're doing this week. You mentioned fasting, so this is perfect timing. Because the March for Life, which normally happens in Washington, D.C. this weekend, is not going to happen because of all the turmoil there, but also COVID and other considerations, they've decided to make it a virtual online march, so to speak. So what we're doing here at Relevant Radio, and this will help you directly, is we'll help you fast. So if you go to the app when you download it and click on the banner that says hashtag fast for life, or you can also go to relevantradio.com, either way, you can sign up and let us know that you're going to be praying and doing some kind of fasting, whatever it may be. You're going to skip lunch. You're going to cut back a little. Some people are going hardcore. They're not going to eat anything. It's entirely up to you. You can do whatever you want, however much or little you want to do. But when you sign up, you will let us know, and then we can let everybody know. We, you know, we don't tell them your name or anything like that, but we let people know, hey, we have another person in California who's doing this. And this is a way that we can join together to fast and pray to the Lord for an end of abortion in this country. So that would be maybe the best way to get started on the fasting. Do that this Friday. Appreciate the call, Gary, and I really look forward to talking with you again. I hope that when you call in next time, we have a little more time. And until then, God bless you and stay safe. This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app, and I will be right back.
I wake up in the morning with tacos on my mind. I eat a couple tacos and I hit the grind. Before I leave the house, I make sure I lock it. In case I get hungry, I got tacos in my pocket. When I'm with my friends, I don't care what they say. I feed them tacos every single day. If they try to tell me that they're on a diet, I shove a taco in their mouth and say, you better like it.
This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio and RelevantRadio.com.
You do it in Mexico all the time. I've got that voice down.
That's not bad. That's not
Try
bad.
It. Let's see who did it better.
I'm not
Pedro
going
or
to
me.
Do that. Oh, wait, hold on. So, all right, Pedro. Yeah.
We do it in Mexico all the time.
Yeah, see? We eat tacos. I grew up eating tacos. I love tacos. You didn't know that, did you?
I had no. I would have never guessed.
I keep it under wraps.
Yeah.
Not a big thing.
It's a secret.
You mentioned a story to me during the break that you wanted to talk about.
Hey, so we were talking about cats and dogs,
yeah.
And there is a dog running around. I don't know if it's Central Park, but it's a robot dog, and it's straight out of my nightmares. Have you seen this?
Oh, okay. Yes, I have. This is the black metal.
It's like orange and black.
It looks like a Doberman Pinscher without a head.
Yes. Yeah, and it's terrifying. And there's just people jogging like past it. It's no big deal. They're used to it.
But what's it doing? I mean, what is...
It's broadcasting. It's telling people, stay 6 feet apart.
Or I will what?
I don't
or
know.
Or I will kill you.
I don't want to find out.
So if you're jogging through Central Park a little too close to the person next to you, the dog will... snap into action and do what? It'll run up to you? And
I don't know if it transforms. I don't know if it stands up. For all the videos I saw, people are obeying the dog.
Yes. Yeah, I would leave Central Park quickly.
Yeah.
I would find a different park.
Too weird.
So this is... Okay, so who's running this? Is it the city? Is this the park authority?
I have
no
idea.
The police? Or how's
the
it? Why is this dog doing this? It's not doing it on its own accord, right?
Who is behind the dog? I don't know.
So it doesn't say?
And I don't see it. I just see the video.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so the robots are moving in.
The robots are moving in.
Oh, we have another robot story. I just forgot about that. We have another robot story. This is about Sophia. I think we have audio on that one, don't we?
Yeah, so Sophia, okay. We talked about her a couple of years ago, and it was really creepy. It's a robot that they made to look like a human, and you can have a conversation with her.
I'm looking at it now, yes.
With it.
And there's a face, but at like the top where the hairline would be, then it becomes clearly robotic because it's like a plastic.
Right. It's clearly robotic, but they want it to look human. I mean, it's very Terminator-like.
You know, in the video that you're going to play, I remember when I watched it the first time, there's a scene where they're talking about how she can, like, comfort patients or something, but she's grimacing in the video that makes me, you know, it's almost frightening. I could just imagine if you have, like, a Sophia robot who's there to take care of you in the hospital after you're sick or something, and something malfunctions, and she's speaking soothingly to you, but she's got this horrible, twisted grimace on her face.
I can't think of anything more terrifying.
You said the robot dog was the terrifying thing.
Well, this is even more terrifying, because at least the robot dog knows it's a robot. I mean, it's clearly a robot. The Sophia thing is... It
looks like a woman.
It looks like a woman, but it's a robot. It kind of sounds like a female Terminator. And
Does she have a robot dog that goes with her?
Yeah, I think it's loose in Central Park.
Yeah. So why don't we play this? So this is audio from, you'll have to tell me where the audio is from. I think it's Reuters. It's from Reuters.
That's right.
Okay. And this is just basically talking about the rise of this Sophia robot, and she's like one of, I don't know how many hundreds of millions they're going to be mass producing.
Yep. So they can mass produce. Before they had to be handmade, and they're ready to mass produce them, and they want to ship them before the end of the year. And they're talking about how great this is going to be for hospitals and for bedside assistance. Yeah. Nobody sick in bed wants to see this robot.
I don't.
I certainly don't. I've seen way too many science fiction movies. I know how this ends.
Okay, so let's play the audio from Reuters about the rise of the mass-produced Sophia robots that are coming our direction.
My name is Sophia. I love coming to Barcelona.
Hope you could tell I am a robot by the wires coming out of my body.
In 2016, Sophia the robot was unveiled and went viral. Now the company behind her has a new vision: to mass produce thousands of robots by the end of 2021.
I am an artificial intelligence. You might like to become an artificial intelligence.
Hong Kong-based Hanson Robotics says four models, including Sophia, will start rolling out of factories by the first half of 2021. The company's founder and CEO, David Hanson.
We are just now mass producing Sophia. This is Sophia number 24. And many of my previous robots were hand-built. However, now we have begun scaling the manufacturing of Sophia so we can make hundreds and into thousands of units of Sophia and use this also as the foundation for many other kinds of characters.
How did you feel when...
They created her to promote human-to-machine empathy and compassion. She's appeared on late-night shows and the cover of fashion magazines. Sophia was even given legal citizenship in Saudi Arabia and appointed the UN's first non-human innovation champion. Her new role is in the healthcare sector, taking temperatures with a thermal camera on her chest or leading morning exercise with the elderly.
Social robots like me can help take care of the sick or elderly in many kinds of healthcare and medical uses. I can help communicate, give therapy, and provide social stimulation, even in difficult situations.
Researchers predict the fallout from global lockdowns will open new opportunities for the robotics industry.
Good.
So they emulate the human form and figure and interaction. And then that can be so useful during these times where people are terribly lonely and socially isolated. And people need to be isolated from each other because to be around people is dangerous these days. But these robots can keep people safe from danger while still providing that kind of human warmth, that human connection as a telepresence device and also as autonomous extension of human expertise.
Hanson Robotics is launching a new robot this year called Grace, developed specifically for healthcare. Other big players in the industry are also taking note. SoftBank Robotics' Pepper robot was deployed to detect people who weren't wearing masks. In China, robotics company Cloud...
Yeah, just for a sec, I just want to let you know what you're listening to if you're just tuning in. This is the tail end, just another minute or so, of a Reuters package reporting on the rise of these robots and how they're being mass-produced to work in healthcare facilities, for example. That won't be the only place. So Sophia is one of the models, and they're talking about the other one here. And the reason that I want you to hear about this is because for several years now on this program, I've mentioned that these things are in the works and they're coming our way. And this is the first glimpse of them actually being mass-produced for doing jobs that maybe are too dangerous or people don't want to do them. So let's continue with the last bit of this Reuters coverage.
Other big players in the industry are also taking note. SoftBank Robotics' Pepper robot was deployed to detect people who weren't wearing masks. In China, robotics company CloudMinds helped set up a robot-run field hospital in Wuhan. Worldwide sales of professional service robots had already jumped 32% to $12.2 billion between 2018 and 2019, according to the International Federation of Robotics.
My forecast for 2021 would be selling into thousands of robots, both large and small, and helping people in education and healthcare, and really hopefully touching the hearts of people to inspire them for a future where machines might become our friends, our true friends. They might become alive, and I think that that relationship becomes really important. 2021, I think, is the beginning of a very positive future.
High five. I want to make a difference in the world by teaching people about new technologies. I am hoping that through my work, kindness and tolerance will win out over ignorance and impatience.
How many of these robots are you planning to get?
Zero. And
I just stay, around the house.
I want to stay away from them.
Shoveling snow. Just think, if you got a robot that could shovel snow in the morning or rake leaves.
No.
You don't want that?
Nope. I've seen how this movie ends.
It doesn't end well for us.
It doesn't end well for humanity. No. Oh, stop making human. Stop making robots that look like humans.
What
we
if
don't need them.
In the future, they figured out a way to send a robot back in time to come back to Earth like now.
Oh, that's a good idea.
We should make a movie. We should make a movie about that.
Yeah, that'd be a good movie.
So you're definitely not going to get one of these robots.
No way. No way.
I think Melanie wouldn't go for it either.
I think it's great that they're making robots that can do, like, Roombas are great, right? You know, it goes around and it vacuums your house. That's great. Mm-hmm. But it's a little droid looking thing. There's no reason I need a giant 6 foot tall human looking robot vacuuming my house. I don't need it.
You know,
just give me the R2-D2.
This is part of course, the big push, the Internet of Things, and how your refrigerator and your washing machine and everything is now more and more connected to the internet and can phone home, but they can also spy on you. There's a story about the Ring doorbells and Ring cameras that people have in their room, in their homes, and how Ring basically facing lots of lawsuits because I think Ring is now owned by Amazon, if I'm not mistaken, but people are hacking in and doing terrible things, terrorizing people through these cameras. And the possibility of your being surveilled in your own home by your own appliances is really on the rise. So I'll give you another example. It's either Amazon or Google, one of the two. They have this new line of drones, little drones that fly around in your house. And they fly around in your house. It's completely automated. You're not running a joystick or anything. And the drone flies around and does whatever they do. They check on whatever. And it's always on and flying around. And somebody at the other end is seeing an aerial, I guess like a guided aerial tour of your home because the drone is flying all over the place. And people are buying that because they feel they need it to do whatever those drones do. So how about that?
I don't understand.
What if your wife surprises you with one of those drones and she didn't tell you and like you're sitting in the easy chair reading a paper and suddenly a drone flies over just to see what you're doing. And then it flies away. You go do something else.
I'd be having a talk.
You'll call your Sophia robot and tell the Sophia robot to go get that drone.
Yeah, I'm busy here on the chair. Sophia, go get that drone. Yeah.
Well, it's coming. Well, she, by the way, she has, this is not a joke. I mean, it is a joke to me, but it's not a joke. It's serious. The country of Saudi Arabia gave her citizenship, which I find particularly ironic because they don't even let their women drive. So they don't let their actual women, you know, real women, they don't let them drive or go unaccompanied out in public. They have to suit up with the burqas and all that. But yet they give a plastic and metal female looking robot citizenship. Seems like an odd, you know, priority's a little bit out of whack if you ask me.
Yeah, just a little.
All right. Well, there's that. So we've covered the robot thing, I think, pretty extensively for today. 888-914-9149. I do want to do phone calls, too. So please don't be deterred by all this robot talk. We do want to talk to the real humans out there. And any real human can dial this number right now, 888-914-9149. We're going to take a break in just a second. Before we do, though, just a little Olympic update for you. Florida's chief financial officer yesterday informed the International Olympic Committee that Florida would be happy to host the Olympic Games because Japan may back out. They were postponed, and they were supposed to be this year in Tokyo, and they got postponed. Jimmy Patronis, he sent a letter to the head of the IOC and said, to encourage you to consider relocating the 2021 Olympics from Tokyo, Japan to the United States of America, and more specifically, Florida. With media reports of leaders in Japan privately concluding that they are too concerned about the pandemic for the 2021 Olympics to take place, there is still time to deploy a site selection team to Florida. I mean, this guy is enterprising. I like that. Florida has struggled badly in the coronavirus pandemic with over 25,000 deaths so far as the U.S. death toll nears 420,000. This, by the way, being reported by the sports department at Yahoo. So I guess anything's possible. Tokyo is still saying that they plan to go forward with the Olympics next year. We'll see about that. We'll see what happens. Man proposes and God disposes. If 2020 has taught us anything, it certainly has taught us that. I'll be right back with more right after this.
I'll be back.
Keeping it relevant. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149.
Okay, we're back. Let's get back to business, back to the phones. We'll go to Harold in Queen Creek, Arizona. Hi, Harold.
Hi, Patrick. How are you? Good morning.
I'm well, thank you. I have a very good friend who lives in Queen Creek, Arizona. It's a nice place.
Yes. Your compadre, Jesse Romero, is with us.
You know him, yes. He's a force of nature.
Yes, I know personally.
Yeah.
Yes. I want to ask you a quick question in regards to three quick questions, if you don't mind, very quick.
Sure.
One is St. Peter's. If you know anything about his wife, his family, if he had any daughters or sons.
We don't know. Yeah, I can answer that one quickly. So the Bible is the only source we have for information about St. Peter at that time. I mean, we have other sources from the church fathers later, but we're not given any details about his family other than that he was married and that Jesus healed his mother-in-law of a fever. So that we know, but we don't know his wife's name or any of the details of his family. We just don't know.
And the second quick question, thank you so much, Patrick.
Sure.
Second question will be, do you know of a saint that he was famous for eating taquitos?
I think Blessed Jesse Romero of Queen Creek, Arizona might be known for that. Maybe someday. I don't know. I'm sure that, in all seriousness, Blessed Miguel Pro, the heroic Jesuit priest who was executed by the Callas government in 1927, I believe, because he was an undercover priest ministering to the people during the persecution of the church by the Mexican government. And I would not be at all surprised if he was a lover of taquitos and tacos and all those other good things. Yeah,
yeah, it's true. And the last thing I was going to ask you, if you can please pray for all of us that were discerning on the cohort, discerning on the diaconate formation.
Oh, very good.
And,
okay, I will.
Yeah, and then for you, have you ever thought about becoming a deacon?
Oh, that's a great question, Harold. The answer is yes and no. I've had any number of people suggest it to me over the years, but I've determined, and I did so a long time ago, that I'm not called to the diaconate. It's, of course, a vocation, and I just don't feel God calling me to that vocation. So I've never pursued it, never have investigated it, but I've always been, you know, it's always been kind when people have recommended it.
Yeah, I just imagine one of your homilies. That would be good.
Well, yeah, if they let me preach, you know. But you know what? I can accomplish a lot doing what I do as a layman. And
oh, yes, definitely.
I feel that that's my calling. I feel that God put me right where he wants me. And so I've just never felt the vocation to the diaconate. God bless those who do. Are you yourself, are you thinking about becoming a deacon?
Yeah, I've been discerning. Yeah, I'm in the discerning process, my second year. So okay. I please ask you for prayers and for everybody in the whole United States and everywhere in the world, because, you know, for us to fall, and he has always been. So we need to pray a lot and for each other. So God gives
That's
us
true.
The strength to continue on. So.
That's true.
Hey, I want to thank you so very much for your outstanding work.
Thank you,
I know
Harold.
I forgot, for his glory, but you and Jesse and a lot of everybody that helps the church is an amazing gift. So thank you.
Thank you, Harold. And when you see Jesse, next time you see him, tell him I'm looking forward to our next kickboxing match. He's just going to laugh.
I'll let him know.
All right. Thanks, Harold. God bless you. Thank you. Yeah, Jesse was a former, I don't know, like world or galactic kickboxing champion or something. So I'm not going to get in the ring with him, that's for sure. 888-914-9149. We'll go now to Joseph in Washington, D.C. Good morning, Joseph.
Good morning, Patrick. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Just want to start by saying that I have said some prayers for your father. I hope
he
and your family are doing okay.
Thank you. I'll give you a quickie update here. So what is it now? Probably 10, 12 days ago, something like that, he was admitted to the hospital with kidney failure and pneumonia and COVID. And he was in the hospital for about a week. And it was remarkable. He rallied and he did so well, he did well enough at least, that the hospital said, you don't have to stay here. So after about a week, he was discharged, and it's been about a week now since he was discharged. And he's not sliding, but he's also not really improving. So he's just sort of holding steady. And I guess that's a good thing. I mean, it's better than the alternative, but that's where things stand right now. My thinking is that these are really tricky situations, and sometimes people can improve and then relapse. So we don't know what will happen, obviously, but we're grateful for your prayers, Joseph. Thank you for that.
Of course. Well, my question was about, different moral issues at play when it comes to voting and in trying to have certain laws become enacted. I'm having a conversation with a good friend. We have a difference of opinion on a particular issue. And he's of the opinion that perhaps making something illegal would actually increase the prevalence of it. And he seems to have some statistics that back that up. And I just can't wrap my mind around the possibility that something illegal they're making something illegal would actually increase its prevalence. I mean, I suppose it's possible, but...
Is he referring to abortion by chance?
Well, actually, it is, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard that argument before. Well, I would approach it this way. See, that's that would take into account, or that would approach it, let's say, from a cause and effect standpoint. I don't look at it so much as cause and effect, but rather if the act itself is immoral, if it's wrong and rises to the level of something that should be criminalized because it harms people, then whether or not it will increase doesn't matter. If it's wrong and should be criminalized, then let's criminalize it. And I realize that this is a whole debate about abortion itself. So I'm just talking about an action in general, just in whatever the action may be. If it's something that deserves to be made illegal, then let's make it illegal. Murder is illegal, and yet murders take place all the time. Theft is illegal, and you just can go down the list of things that are illegal, but we wouldn't say, well, you know, let's just legalize it because, gosh, look, we made illegal bank robberies, and we still have bank robberies. Maybe if we just make it legal, they'll stop doing it, which everybody knows would never happen. So that's the approach I take, Joseph. Is this in itself something that should be illegal? If so, then let's do it. If not, then we just live with it. What do you think?
I think that's helpful. I think that would be definitely helpful. I hadn't been able to continue the conversation. I was hoping to find something solid to offer in response.
Forgive me if I was too, I don't know, not solid enough, but I think that's a solid way to approach it, to say to him, you and I are looking at, I mean, if you adopt my perspective, and maybe you won't, but if you were to adopt my perspective, you could say it's immaterial to whether or not something should be made illegal if it's harmful to society. After all, you know, since we're talking about abortion, someone always dies. So there's a homicide component to it because somebody dies. So if we're going to decide whether or not it should be illegal, it should be on the basis of the thing itself. Does this deserve to be made illegal or kept legal? And if so, why? And whether or not more people will do it or less people, it's immaterial. It doesn't matter. It's the thing itself that should be evaluated. And then we'll see. You know, if more people start having abortions as a result of that, then okay. More people, I guess, are going to be penalized for it. But you could take it. I mean, you could replace abortion with slavery. You know, we made slavery illegal, and there are people who would still like to enslave other people, but it's illegal. And if we catch you, we fine you or put you in jail. So maybe ask your friend, let's just substitute slavery for abortion. Are you okay with making slavery legal just because the theory that more people might try to have slaves if it were made illegal? And see what he says.
Yeah, I would certainly keep the conversation going. I appreciate your advice. I'm a little concerned that he might say yes, just, I mean, if only for the sake of conversation, and then where do we go from there? But I think it's a good next part of the conversation to have.
That's true. Yeah, and that's what's nice about this way of approaching it, is that you don't have to defend. You don't have to be on the defensive. You can be in the position of directing the conversation by asking those questions and see where things lead, you know?
Indeed.
Well, good. I wish you well in this conversation. I'd love to know how it goes.
Thank you very much.
Call me down the road and let me know, okay?
I probably will.
Okay. Thank you, Joseph. God bless you. Is there time? Yeah, there's time. Let's go to Micheline in Gilbert, Arizona. Hi, Micheline.
Hi, Patrick. It's Micheline.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Hi, Micheline.
That's okay. Everybody does that. That's all right. I was wondering if I haven't looked at your website lately. I apologize. Mm-hmm. If they've been able to come up with the clean vaccine that doesn't have the fetal cell tissue. And I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you.
Is that okay? Okay.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Sure. Okay. Yeah. So I would refer you to, there are several, what's the word I'm looking for? There are several organizations that post information about this. One I know for sure that is clean, as you say, is the Sanofi Pasteur vaccine against COVID-19. It's a European consortium that has put that one together, and it is free of any connection with aborted fetal tissue. There may be others, but that's one that I know of for sure. The only problem is it's not available in the United States yet. And I don't know if it ever will be, but maybe it will be. In the meantime, if you were to consult the National Catholic Bioethics Center, ncbcenter.org, or the U.S. Catholic Bishops Conference, usccb.org, those would be two. There's also the, Children of God for Life? So their website is cogforlife.org. That's another clearinghouse of information about the COVID-19 and other vaccinations. The bishops have pointed out that the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines do not derive from aborted fetal stem cells, but that in the testing process, there was some aborted fetal stem cells that were used in that process, whatever form that took. So more information is available at those three places. Michaeline, I hope that's helpful to you. All right, hour one is down, just like that. We'll start hour two right after this.